Voices of Women is a top radio show that gives voice to the personal stories of women. It will inspire women and enlighten men to follow their dreams and create positive changes in their lives. Whether the audience listens to best-selling authors or a layperson like themselves, they'll realize there are others with similar experiences and feelings to their own. This show will give women tools they can use every day, which will empower them to step out of their boxes and create the changes they desire in their life. Chris inspires women to find their voices, speak up, and become leaders of their own life. Everyone has their gifts to share with the world, and it's time for women to work together to bring honor and respect to the feminine voice, which is within all people, men and women. Topics include personal growth, spirituality, creativity, leadership, and divine feminine. Now here's your host, Chris Stainis.
Well, welcome to Voices of Women. I'm Chris Stainis, and this is Transformation Talk Radio as well. So many of you have heard me talk about my father. He had turned 100 last summer, and he's just amazing. He drove up until last October, had a 100-year party last summer that was just fabulous. And sadly, he passed over last week. So he was just 3 months shy of being 101. And he was vital to the end, having 3 beautiful days of sunshine in Seattle, taken out to a restaurant, driving by his old homes, and singing in his Norwegian male chorus. And then the next morning, just gone so quickly, but he was ready and at peace at leaving. I joked at his memorial, given his great sense of humor, he was saying, if I'd known how nice it was up here, I would have left sooner. So this show is dedicated to my father, Lars Stainis. And today my guest is Krista Gibson, and the topic is, what are you waiting for? Is there something you want to do with your life, but you're not doing it? And many women wait for all their ducks to be in a row before beginning a project. And by the time they start that project, the ducks have moved to another pond. So what are you waiting for? If we wait for things to be perfect before starting a project, we'll never start because things will never be perfect. And also, women are used to waiting, to be asked out, to be offered the job, to be proposed to. And the time for waiting is over. It's time to do without being invited. It takes courage and a willingness for life to be messy, but the rewards are worth it. And Krista Gibson is a publisher of New Spirit Journal, a print and online publication with over 55,000 readers, and author of several books, CDs, and MP3 programs. 2 of her books have been published in Barcelona, in Spanish even. She is also a spiritual business mentor, helping women and men fulfill their life purpose while having fun. Krista's website is www.kristagibson.com, and that's KrystGibson. And also, the newspiritjournal.com is the website for her newspaper. So welcome, Krista, to Voices of Women.
Hello. Great to be here, Chris.
And first, I love people to share their story. I would like the audience to know a little bit about you, how you started in this work of assisting others on their journey, and even starting the New Spirit Journal, which has been around many years, and considering its first, manifestation of it, because it was first, what was the name of it in the beginning?
Well, my first newspaper was called The New Times, and I started that in 1985 and then sold it in 1996. And then I started New Spirit Journal in 2005. But the way I started the first newspaper obviously is a long story, you know, because I was like 38 years old, so I had lived a lot prior to that. But the actual way I did it, it was one of those surprises that the universe gives you. I had no idea I would ever be publishing a newspaper. And through circumstances, I ended up actually working at a very small newspaper in a place called Point Roberts, Washington. And I was the editor, but what that meant was I did everything. And the reason I was hired with no journalistic background was because they needed somebody with business experience, and that I had. That's what they really wanted me for. And they said, well, we can teach you the other stuff, but we can't teach you business. And so they hired me, and I was working all by myself. My boss was about an hour and a half drive away. And the first day of the job, he met me, sat me down in a chair and said, here's the desk, here's the phone. This was before computers. You know, and what you have to do is get the news, write the articles, sell some ads, bring them to us once a month, we'll produce a newspaper, and then you have to distribute it. So I basically did everything. And what I would do is I'd sit down and say to myself, you know, because once I got the job, I was like, oh my God, what have I done? I have no idea how to do this. And so I would say to myself, Well, self, you know, if you did know how to sell an ad, what would you do? If you did know how to write an article, how would you write it? And then I would just get into that pretend mode, and it worked for me every time. It was like being able to draw on your inner self. Well, I did that for 9 months, and then one day, I was already on my spiritual journey, but then one day I was driving in my car, and you know how you hear voices in your head, not external ones, but internal, speaking to yourself. And the voice said, move to Seattle and start a monthly New Age community newspaper. And I said, what? And it was repeated. And I thought, well, I can't do that. I don't know what I'm doing. And so I did some research, found out nobody was doing what I had intended to do or the vision that came with the words. And so I thought, well, maybe I should do that. And I didn't have any money. I had was recently divorced, and I did newspapering is not a well-paid job, so I wasn't making very much money. And I started asking around, would people lend me money? How can I do this? Because I kept focusing that I had to have the money. And it just wasn't forthcoming, and I was getting really discouraged. And I was writing my vision and doing all of that. Well, one day I picked up a newsletter from a metaphysical church, and it said that quote that I think everyone's heard, which is, until one is committed, there is hesitancy, the chance to draw back. The moment one definitely commits oneself, then providence moves too. All sorts of things occur to help one that would otherwise never have occurred. Whatever you can do or dream you can, begin it. Boldness has genius, power, and magic in it. Well, I read that and I thought, oh, Christy, you're doing this backwards. You're not committed. I picked up the phone and I quit my job. Hung up the phone, and then I said, oh, my God, now what have you done? Not only don't you have the money to do this newspaper, not only don't you have the money to move, and now you've given a month's notice, you don't even have a job anymore. Well, I thought all kinds of things because of this quote. I thought, well, I've committed myself. Wonderful things will happen. Well, it didn't quite happen that way for me. Not like miracles falling from the sky. But my taking that step did slowly open the doors, and eventually I packed up all my things, moved to Seattle, and it was a rough go for the first year, but I did start this newspaper, and over a period of time ended up with 40,000 readers. It was well known nationally, and through that I got to interview all the greats at the time. You know, I've interviewed and met Wayne Dyer, Deepak Chopra, Marianne Williamson, these wonderful people, because back then they all came through town when they would come out with their books. And so I met a lot of them when they were just getting started, before they were famous. And that was just fabulous. And so it was by following my vision, following my heart, and being bold that I was able to do those things. So that's the story of my first newspaper.
And that is bold steps. I mean, you know, and you think, you know, you do it, and it's like that fear comes in, and you just, you really have to go by faith and trust that, you know, if it's meant to be. It's interesting, your vision, like the voice in your head, is very similar how I started Woman of Wisdom. Is a voice in my head like, you need to bring women like this book I read, Feminine Face of God. And then it was as a week-long conference, so community could be built. And it's just, right. You know, those, we have to pay attention to those voices in our head. You know, right. I didn't know how to do this. I had background. I had all the tools just from other jobs, but it's right. A whole new field. And so you take what you have, what you brought with you. You really have more skills than you're aware of.
Exactly. And I used to tell people at the time, doing the newspaper brought together every single job and skill I had ever done, but they had all been being done separately. And that brought them all together, and I think that's what you're saying. And yeah. A lot of times, you know, women especially, we sell ourselves short because we think, oh, my God, I don't know this, I don't know that. And it's like, if you get that internal voice and you get that push to do something that's coming, I call it, it's coming from your soul. That's the voice. And if you follow it, you do have the skills. You do have, and what you don't have, you're going to learn as you go, because that is your journey. So when you're doing something like this, it isn't just, it's not that you've arrived and therefore you can do it. You're going to learn as you go. But you do have the ability and the skills. And if you don't have them, you will be led as to how to acquire them as you walk down that path.
Right. There's so many times we think we have to know everything before we even start it. And that's what stops us, because, well, Or, you know, or I don't have my house in order. You know, my house is a mess. I need to do that first. Or whatever excuse we have because we're afraid to take that first step. So why do you think it's important for women to start their own businesses, especially in this day and age? You're seeing, I mean, the statistics are the majority of small businesses are owned by women.
I know. I'm loving it because it gives women that independence that I think we need. And women, most women, not all, most women bring a whole different set of values to the table in a business, and that's what's going to and is already changing our culture. And, you know, the old ways are dying out hard because they don't like letting go. But, you know, the male masculine model is wonderful, and there's a lot to draw from it. But the feminine model has so much that's been ignored so long. When you can merge those together in a business, it is incredible what can happen, and that's women need to come to the table and bring our values and our ways of doing business with us and meld them with the masculine model.
Yes, and it's like the yin and the yang. You can't have one without the other, but we've been in this kind of the yang mode for so long, and that masculine model, as you say, that it's now the point of being, it's, I think, and you hear other people talk about it, it's what's harmed our planet. And we have to bring that feminine back to balance.
Right.
And so it's great for women to take that leap of and be independent. And I know some are just geared up to do that, and some are kind of scared to do it. Because I think one thing that holds us back, I mean, I'd love for you to add to it, is the whole money thing of how do I raise money? How, or what if I go into debt? All that, those, I think it's a huge issue.
It is, and the fear of failure, and the fear that you don't know enough. And but it comes down to fear, you know, fear I won't have enough money. Fear, you know, when I moved, I mean, I had that fear. I mean, I didn't. I had just enough money to get to Seattle. I mean, how was I going to, you know, live? I wasn't going to have a job. I was going to be starting a business. And, you know, what I've learned is you just have to push through that fear, and the best way to push through it is to do whatever it is that you're trying to do. And then things do happen for you. When you have focus and you have purpose, it, like Joseph Campbell says, you know, invisible hands come out to support you, whether it's in terms of money or skill or knowledge or whatever it is that you need, they show up.
Well, they do. Well, you're listening to Voices of Women with Chris Stanis, and we're going to take a quick break right now. When we come back, we will talk with Krista Gibson some more.
We all want deeper, more intimate relationships. But how do we create successful relationships and maintain strong connections? Peter Kane has some real answers. Author of The Monogamy Challenge, Creating and Keeping Intimacy, Peter is one of the original breathworkers and relationship trainers with over 30 years' experience. Breathe, relax, or create intimacy and keep it thriving. Visit peterkane.org or contact Peter Kane at 425-802-2050.
Ladies, are you living an inspired life? Do you yearn for a more passionate, dream-filled life? Here's Linda Joy, founder of Aspire Magazine, and she has a gift for you.
Aspire has launched its Mission to Inspire initiative with a commitment to give away 100,000 one-year digital subscriptions to women around the globe. Every subscription comes with a multitude of free gifts from our team inspiration partners.
To claim it all, go to AspireMag.net today. No purchase necessary. And live an inspired life.
Imagine a chocolate so decadent that you'd never believe it could be good for you. Align your inner bliss with Mother Nature's magic. The power of cold-pressed cocoa by Shosai, the healthy chocolate. Shosai is everything you ever dreamed healthy should taste like. We combine unprocessed cocoa with acai and blueberry for an unbeatable high-oxidant powerhouse. Josai, the healthy chocolate. Visit us at lifesaverchocolate.com or call 888-287-2011.
Chris Stanis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Hi, my name is Dr. Dane here from Access Consciousness. Are you a seeker, a dreamer, one of those people who's always known that there should be greater possibilities available but haven't yet been able to create it as your life? I'd like to help. Go to creatinggreaterpossibilities.com, where there's a free video and audio series created especially for you. Once again, creatinggreaterpossibilities.com. It's free, and it's designed to give you the actual tools that you need to create the life you've always been looking for. creatinggreaterpossibilities.com.
Called the Oprah of radio by her listeners, award-winning host Dr. Pat Basile is blowing the doors off of traditional talk radio. Get ready for an energizing delivery and powerful interviews with leaders in the field of human potential. Dr. Pat's fresh, new perspective on living life full out has catapulted her show to the top of talk radio. Tune in and Dr. Pat will help you thrive instead of merely survive. Visit thedrpatshow.com. That's thedrpatshow.com for listening times in your area.
Women of wisdom, women of wisdom, women of wisdom, rise and shine, sister kind, spirit of woman, rise and shine.
Well, welcome back to Voices of Women. I'm Chris Stanis, and I am talking with Krista Gibson today. And we were just talking over the commercial break about the importance of stories. And I love the aspect of sharing people's stories and how important it is to share our stories. A lot of time we feel so self-conscious, like, oh, I can't say that. Or, you know, we don't want to be boastful. But when I've finally gotten through that, I have found that other people have been inspired by my story. It's allowed them to see that, oh, if she can do that, I can do that too, or I can do what I want to do. Or, you know, your stories have a purpose. And I know Krista has a story. Now, you were, this is early 1970s, you were the first woman to work as a machinist in a machine shop. So tell us that story.
Well, at the time I was living in Houston, Texas, and I had gotten a degree in psychology, and I had spent about 5 years working as a drug counselor. And I was working with hardcore drug addicts. These were people who had either been to jail and were out on parole, or instead of going to jail, they were given probation and they had to come see me. And it was a very, very strict program. They had to pee in cups at least 3 times a week to prove that they were drug-free and so on. Well, one of the things, it was very hard work, because the recidivism rate was huge and still is huge. And they were, most of them were sociopaths. So I was getting really frustrated because I worked so hard with these. Most of them were men, but some women. And one of the things I saw is they were making all this money working in machine shops because they had to have a job and they had to bring me their pay stubs. Well, I was making like a fraction of what they were making, and I was the supervisor of one of the clinics and seeing clients. So I got frustrated and numerous things happened, and I finally thought, I gave my notice and I thought, you know what, I'm done dealing with people's heads. I'm done trying to help these people change their lives. I'm going to go work in machine shops. So I found the name of a machine shop and I went down and they were hiring. So I walked in and I said, I would like to make an application and learn to be a machinist. And the man told me, he said, you can't do that. He said, women don't work as machinists. The only way we hire women is to work in the office or to work as inspectors once the parts are made. Well, of course, those jobs didn't pay very much. The machinist positions were the ones that paid. And I said, you can't discriminate against me because I'm a woman. And this was just when some of those laws were being changed. And he said, well, he said, let's put it this way. He said, I know good and well you can't pass our mechanical aptitude test. I said, okay, I'll make you a deal. I pass that test, you hire me. He said, okay. Well, what he didn't know is I was, my father was a carpenter, and I spent years helping him work on cars and build things, and I had a very high aptitude. I took the test. I passed it with flying colors. So he was all begrudged. Oh, okay, all right. Well, I'll let you talk to the supervisor. But he said, I tell you right now, he will not hire you. I said, okay. So he took me out there. I met the foreman, and he was very patronizing. Well, so little Missy, you know, you want to cut iron. You want to work with the men, huh? And he was just really bad. And he walked me around the shop, and he said, see how dirty it is, and people get hurt, and you can't pick up those pieces of iron, and, you know, now see where the women work. And there were three women. You see, they sit in chairs, and it's real easy, and, you know, they can do this and that. So he finished walking me around. He said, so he said, I don't think that we're going to hire you as a machinist trainee. You know, you don't want to do that. I said, you know what? Yes, I do. And I said, you hire me, and I'll tell you what. You hire me, and in 30 days, you see how I do. And I said, I want you to show me one machine down there that it takes a male member to work, and I won't, you know, I'll leave. But I said, if you can't show me that, hire me, give me 30 days. Well, he was mad, but he said, okay. He said, I'm going to do it. He said, I'm going to prove you wrong. So he hired me. So the first day I show up for the job, he puts me on the worst possible machine in the shop. And do you know what the machine was called? It was called the screw machine because the machine made screws. So he put me on that, and oh my God, it was hard work because I had to lift these pieces, put them up chest high into this big machine, and there was all this coolant that came down, and you just got bathed in it. It was horrible, stinky stuff. And then as the machine would cut the iron, all these pieces of shavings and hot iron would come out and land in your hair and on your clothes. And we had like, you worked for a few hours and you had like a 5-minute break. I mean, it was terrible. By the end of the first day, I said to myself, what have I done? Oh my gosh, you know, this is just horrible. But I was bound and determined. So I, you know, he looked at me at the end of the first day. He said, well, you know, Missy, how'd you do? I said, I will be back tomorrow. So I was, and I hung in there, and the main boss watched me, and he was this little old guy, and he would sit there with his hands in his pockets, and he would just watch me work. And I found out later that the foreman, my foreman, who wasn't the one who hired me, he said, old man stands there, and he looks at you, and he says, hire more women, hire more women, because I worked so hard. And my production was way above the men. And, of course, then the men, because it was just me and all these men. And so some of the men started getting mad at me, but I earned their respect. And because I never asked for favors, anything that had to be done, I did it, whether it was lifting, you know, 50-pound pieces or 100-pound pieces, I did it. And I earned their respect. But then I was doing too good. And so they said, you've got to slow down. You're raising the production standard for this whole place. And we don't want that, you know, because, you know, it says to make 10 pieces an hour, you're making 20. And he said, we worked slow to get it at 10. And you're going to make them up it to 20 if you don't, you know, because you're showing them it can be done better. So it was hilarious. And then after a while, they put me on their newest machines, which were called NC lathe machines, and they were operated by computers. So I ended up being moved up several different times, and then ultimately I was going to be offered a foreman position. And I moved to a different machine shop then for different reasons because of location and that. But it was a case of me being willing to go in there and stand my ground. And I was nice. I was polite and all of that. But I also really kind of put it out to them and said, well, give me a reason why you can't hire me. I mean, I made him look at that. And then, of course, by the time I left, there were three or four other women working in the shop because I did set the standard that, yes, women can do this. And, you know, we are willing to put up with the stink and the hard work and so on. And those were the jobs that paid more. And they did pay me the same as the men. So, you know, they didn't discriminate on me in that way. But they were trying to discriminate in terms of not hiring you at all. So it was a real lesson for me and for other women that I knew that, you know, if you're bold and if you set your mind to something that that's really what you want to do and you're willing to pay the dues that go with it, that you can, in fact, do it and you can earn the respect of the other people.
Yeah, and I think in your story, it's also about the attitude that you go in with.
Right.
That you have to go in with a positive attitude versus, you know, a lot of times it's tempting to just kind of get angry and put out negative things towards them. That's not going to further get you anywhere. You know, and I understand that because it's frustrating to get to have that brick wall there that you can't even get through. And so, but you know, you're forging through new ground for other people. And so there are sometimes things you have to do along with that. And well, thank you for doing that. I mean, look, you paved a way for other women to be there. And it's showing the example of what women can do, because there's that concept, you know, of a woman can't possibly do this. It's heavy work.
Well, and what was wonderful is that, you know, once I earned the men's respect, they became my friends. And they realized that they liked having a woman in the shop. And a lot of them would come and talk to me about their wives or their girlfriends, you know, and some of them were drug people. They were doing drugs. And, you know, what was nice for me was I wasn't in the position of having to tell them, you know, I didn't have to help them get off the drugs, but I was able to tell them about some programs that could help them. But, you know, that was what was wonderful, was that I think those men at that time, even the bosses, everybody came to see the value of having the feminine energy in the machine shop. You know, that it didn't just have to be the good old boys network. Now, did it change at the upper echelon in that place? I have no idea. But I know that for the men, my fellow workers, it really did have a good impact on them. And, you know, after work, we all went out for a beer, you know, because I worked, we got off at like midnight. So I went out, I would play pool with them and, you know, socialize with them as well. And that helped too. So, yeah, if you go in with a positive attitude and don't view men or other women in positions of power as the enemy, it can be done. And they will respect you and they're willing to work with you. At least that was my experience.
Yeah, well, it's interesting that they included you socially, too, because I could see in other situations where, well, it's okay at work, but you can't go drink with the guys.
Right. Yep, they did. They did include me. And it was really wonderful that they did. And like I said, we ended up, like I said, once it took a little while. It took a couple of months for them to see. I think a lot of them thought I was going to ask for special favors. I think a lot of them thought that I wasn't going to be able to pull my weight. And, you know, that when I saw how dirty the work was and how physically demanding the work was, that I wouldn't stay. And when they saw me push through that and that I did stay, that I think once I gained that, hey, wow, she's really going to be one of us. She's going to work beside us. You know, she's not going to ask us to come over and do the hard parts or the dirty parts. They did begin to see me as one of the, no, I hate to say one of the guys, because I was never one of the guys, a fellow worker. Yeah, they saw me as a fellow worker. I didn't act like one of the guys. You know, I maintained my own sense of who I was. But at being a woman, I showed them women can do this work and we can still be women. And that, I think, was the key that they got.
Yeah, and that's a positive experience. I've heard others where it doesn't always, they never break through that. Convincing the guys that, hey, yeah, we can bring this, we'll accept this woman being here. What I've heard is sort of the story of, we'll tolerate her being here, but we really don't want her to be here. And so there's that other side too. And it probably really depends on the people and even the shop and the individual, you know, and all that.
And there were that never accepted me. I mean, I wouldn't say they all did, but yeah, that you're right.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's a great story to, you know, for women need to know we can do anything. I mean, there's women firemen now, too, the firewoman, who, you know, as long as you can do the function of the job, there's no reason why not to hire. And just for girls to grow up knowing you can do anything, you know, so that's great. So we are listening to Krista Gibson on this is Voices of Women. We're going to come back and talk some more.
And each Monday at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com to the Elizabeth Anglin Show, your psychic connection to your soul's path. Elizabeth takes you to the Universal Etheric Space Library, where soul records and life lesson plans are stored. This live call-in show will help you decide what your life plan is through the help of your guides and guardian angels. Visit ElizabethAnglin.com or call 1-888-640-4893 to schedule your reading with psychic medium, animal communicator, Elizabeth Anglin.
The Ascension Foundation, serving to build an interdimensional community. The Ascended Masters invite you to join them in co-creating this mission. Allow the Masters to lead the way in activating the wisdom of your heart consciousness and raising your vibration. You can communicate with them directly by attending apportation events and classes in mediumship, crystal light energy healing, alchemy, master studies, past life regression, and more. For a schedule of classes, workshops, and special events, visit theascensionfoundation.com. That's theascensionfoundation.com.
Saskia has been helping clients around the world to find the North Star in their soul and reinvent their lives through her free breakthrough program, The Secret Soul Map to Your Dreams in 21 Days. If you have a calling but aren't sure how to get there, here's a step-by-step strategy to find your purpose now. You'll learn her proven secrets to achieve your dream in just 21 days. Release your fears and go after your biggest dreams and create the life you love. Visit YourSoulGuidance.com to receive your free 21 Secret Soul Map to Your Dreams. Or to schedule your soul breakthrough session with Saskia, call 978-302-0861. That's 978-302-0861.
Gratitude, asks the heart. Tell me, who are you? I would like to meet you and get to know you better. Gratitude responds, I am that which strikes at your door and waits until you open it with grace. I am that which only wants to partner with you at any moment. I am that which wishes your expansion more than anything. Gratitude is on a mission to create a partnership between the hearts of all human beings. Wouldn't it be wonderful to cultivate this state of being every single day? Stimulate the energy of the essence of gratitude in your life while bathing in this wonderful and powerful vibration with our diamond combo and transform your life in health, creativity, wealth, and enriched relationships. Visit our Gratitude Living Boutique at explorationgratitude.com.
Women of wisdom.
Well, welcome back to Voices of Women. I'm Chris Stanis, and I've been talking with Krista Gibson, who is the publisher of New Spirit Journal here in Seattle. And Krista, why don't you give people your contact information and the websites for people to check you out?
Sure. I have two websites. One is newspiritjournal.com. And that one, of course, is the newspaper and audio interviews and that sort of thing. And then the other one is Krista, KrystaGibson.com. So KrystaGibson.com. And there I have a blog as well as books and all kinds of things that I'm doing.
Great. So, and you also have an email list they can sign up for at the New Spirit Journal. And you also have some free audio downloads and PDFs that will support people on their journey.
Exactly, exactly. And yeah, I have several free downloads at my website, KrystaGibson.com, and then at New Spirit Journal, there's free things as well. So I encourage people to go check them out there and poke around a little bit. There's all kinds of wonderful things on there and links to other people's websites and just a lot of really good information.
Yes, and I will attest to that. I think you've done workshops at Woman Wisdom before, and I get your newsletter, and it's always really good content. And
thank you.
Plus, the newspaper, New Spirit Journal, is a great yes. journal.
Wonderful resource for people. Yes.
Yes. So, and people can see that online too. It's not, you don't have to get the hard copy paper. You also have an online version, right? So, if they're on the newsletter, if they're on the email list, they'll get the newsletter.
Absolutely.
The journal.
And you can just, that we notify you when it's there all the time, and there's archives of past issues. And we have readers all over the world. We have people in India and Spain and England and France and all over the place. So, yeah, you don't have to be physically located, where you can get a physical copy. You can read the entire thing online, and that's also free.
Great. So I would love to move on to talking about this concept of is there a war on women today? And if you think there is, and why do you think this is happening, and what should women do about it?
Well, I don't think the war is so much on women as it is on the feminine. And there is a difference, as you and I both know, because everybody has the male and female aspects to ourselves. Now, women, we women embody the feminine generally more than men do, and that's why a lot of it is being focused towards women and women's rights. But it's bigger than that, and that's where the whole, you know, the gay thing comes in, because that's, you know, a lot of people, one of the reasons that a lot of people have prejudice towards gay people is because of the gay men who they perceive as more feminine. So we come back into the whole war against the feminine. But I do think it is going on. And I think that the reason why is in my lifetime, I've seen it change so much for women. We have been able to step into our own more. You know, women have a lot more choices. Abortion was legalized, the whole thing of having birth control so women can take control over their own reproductive health and what they want to do. And so as what I've seen is as women have stepped forward more, as we've stepped more into the workplace, more into positions of authority, it's like the pendulum has swung. And it has swung far enough that there's this whole energy that is really wanting to stop that. They're wanting to pull women and the feminine back to a place of being subservient to the male energy, which again comes in the form of men, in general, not always. And there's a lot of very aware, very awake men. I've recently, over the last couple of years, more and more, I'm meeting men who have developed their own inner feminine, and they're so much more balanced, and they're so much more, they're happier because they have moved out of that strictly more macho place into being more balanced with their own feminine. And the same thing with women who have moved out of being the ultra feminine, moving more to the center of that where they've incorporated more of their own inner male. But I think there's definitely something happening when you see a group of politicians trying so hard to move against the rights that women have worked so hard for, and they're trying to destroy them. I mean, maybe war is too strong a word, but you got to admit something's going on. And I think what women have to do, and the men who support women and the feminine and who see the value in it for the planet, I think we've got to speak up. We've got to get as involved as we possibly can to work to get people into a position of authority and power who do embody the feminine and who do recognize what needs to be done. And I'm not just talking about politics. This has to go in terms of business, you know, because the feminine, you know, goes with nature, this whole, like, war on nature, if you want to look at it, where they don't really care what's happening to the planet, where they deny that there's any damage that's having been done. That whole arena that's going on is all a part of it. And so we need to be a part of balancing that out. We need to be vocal. We obviously, you need to vote. You know, that's just so basic. And when I hear people don't vote, it's just like, yeah, you've got to get out there and you've got to support politically the candidates who are going to support the feminine, the planet, nature, who are going to do those things. No matter which party they belong to, you need to support those people. And then in your own life, you need to look at, you know, kind of do some self-searching, because what we see going on in the outer world is a reflection of what's going inside the mass consciousness. So we each have to look at, how are we denying our own feminine selves? How do we deny our intuition? How do we deny that part of ourselves and try to keep her under wraps instead of letting our own real true feminine come out and be seen and be acknowledged? And the more of us who do that and the more of us who step up, we will start balancing it out. But it is going to take effort, because there's a very strong energy, and I don't want to ascribe it to particular people, because I think it's really an energy that has come into existence in response to the swing of the pendulum.
Yes, it is an energy. And, you know, I think we feel that. And what you're saying, I mean, to me, it comes across as if that, you know, like the politicians or whoever who are wanting to move things back to where they were, it's like there's this fear. There's this fear of the feminine. Yes. Like, are they going to lose their power or what, you know? And I think one way to stop that, too, is to recognize our own fear in ourselves, because there is fear even for women to step up into our feminine power, because in many generations past, we would be killed for it. If you look at the burning times or, right. you know, that's in our DNA, I feel. And so there is that memory of we were killed for doing this before. And so there's this underlying fear we have. And that's where women need to break through that fear and own that their own feminine self instead of keeping it under wraps.
And you know, one of the things I see young women do, and not all young women, but I do see a lot of this going on, and it really does bother me, is that it's like we've worked so hard to get women ahead in the workplace and equal rights and all these sorts of things. And what I see a lot of younger women doing is they still try to placate the men or the maleness in the society, and they do that by, okay, yeah, I'm going to have this position of power, but I'm going to dress real sexy. You know, I have never seen so much cleavage in my life than I've seen in the last, you know, 5 or 6 years. It's like women are not willing to say, hey, I can be powerful, and I can do it in such a way that I do not have to rely just on my sexuality. And it's almost like they want, I don't know how to describe it, but it's kind of like, well, if I'm in a position of power, but I still play the sex card, then men will accept me. And yes, that's part of what happens, but to me, it's almost like the men are saying, okay, we're going to give you power, but don't you forget, ultimately, who you are, and don't forget what we're going to do after work. It's like women being afraid, like you just said, to really accept their feminine power, and it's so much more. It is our sexuality, of course, but it's so much more than that. It's us as feminine people, feminine women, and don't let them put you in the position that the only way you can have the power or the only way you can have a position is just don't forget your place. Because your place is right there, being who you are and presenting yourself in the fullness of who you are in the workplace.
I suppose, I mean, I've seen this too, but I also know that in having met some young women in this who are becoming authors and getting out there, there is that, you know, when you're young, there is that sexy energy, and they're expressing the feminine in a different way. I've had discussions with them, and yet I think it really depends on why are you doing it? Are you doing it for yourself and you feel strong, or are you doing it because there is this placating, because you think it's expected of you, or you're doing it to be liked or admired by men? So it's really like why, recognizing why you're doing it, and that's so important. You know, so coming from a position of power within yourself versus for other people. And that's the real lesson there. So, yeah, it's important. And we need to be models for the younger generation. I'm talking about the little girls, right, of showing them what's a powerful woman look like. What does a powerful woman do? And that they can grow up being a powerful woman themselves, if they see examples of that, that is so important. They need to see. That's why women need to be visual, be visible, be verbal out there, and be seen for the younger generation to know women are powerful leaders. And that's so important. Well, we're going to take a quick break right now, and then we'll come back and continue our conversation with Krista Gibson.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Are the magic and mysteries of Egypt calling you? Picture yourself standing between the paws of the Sphinx, meditating inside the Great Pyramid and other sacred temples and exclusive visits. Imagine cruising down the Nile on a luxurious private sailing yacht and exploring the peaceful countryside of Egypt. If you're interested in travel that expands, transforms, and rejuvenates you, join Dr. Friedemann Schaub and Danielle Rama Hoffman, author of The Temples of Light, for a spiritual and healing journey to Egypt this September. Call for more information, 866-903-6463. That's 866-903-6463. Or visit EgyptIsCalling.com. That's EgyptIsCalling.com.
What if someone could show you how to tap into vibrant health in 90 minutes? What if someone could have you listening to and following your heart's desires? What if someone could have you feel deep and abiding freedom throughout every cell of your being? What if someone could tap into your inherent abundance easily and effortlessly? Alina Frank is that someone. Alina can help you clear anything that energetically stands in your way from attaining the health, wealth, and freedom you were born to enjoy. Using EFT tapping, set yourself free with EFT. Why wait for a miracle when you can tap your power now? Visit www.tapyourpower.net. That's www.tapyourpower.net.
Have you ever wanted to join a yoga class, yet felt self-conscious or simply didn't have the time? Now you can bring live Kundalini yoga into your home with KRI-certified Dr. Ann Taylor. You will learn a scientific technology of movement, mantra, meditation, and breathing techniques designed to balance your mind, body, and spirit. Sign up today for our free newsletter and receive your first class free. Visit Ann with an E, Taylor.com.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Women of wisdom, women of wisdom, women of wisdom, rise and shine, sister light, spirit of woman, rise and shine.
Well, welcome back to Voices of Women. I'm Chris Stanis, and I'm talking with Krista Gibson. She's the publisher of the New Spirit Journal. And I'd love for you to check that out at the website, www.newspiritjournal.com. So, Krista, let's talk about, because we've been talking about this, you know, women being in these positions of power and moving into, you know, starting businesses and wanting women to be visible leaders. What practical suggestions do you give for women who feel stuck where they are and want to move forward into those positions?
Well, the first thing I say to them is to decide what it is that you really want to do and who do you really want to be in your life. And that's a biggie because many people are not clear, and especially women, because there are more choices than there used to be. You know, and okay, so I want to be a mom and I want to be a wife and I want to be a business person. You know, I want all these things. But it's to get really clear on what it is that you want at this point in your life and realize that whatever it is you decide you want now, it can change. You know, as you grow and learn and accomplish things in your life, it will change. But number one, decide what it is that you really want and who is it that you really want to be, number one. Number two, make a plan to get there. This is the place where I see people fail the most, is they jump straight from deciding what they want into action rather than sitting back and saying, okay, here I am in Seattle. I want to go to New York, and I'm using that as a metaphor, of course. How am I going to get there? Pull out your map. You know, what highway am I going to take? Where am I going to spend my nights? How am I going to get there? By plane? By car? You know, am I going to hitchhike? God, I hope not. How am I going to get there? But to sit down and really look at what has to happen for you to get to where you want to be. Do I need more education? Do I need a mentor? Do I need a group of women I can work with? What do I need? A new wardrobe? What am I going to need to get whatever it is that I'm going after? Make a plan and give yourself time. Don't skimp on this part. You know, if you're going to need things like special training, how long will it take you to get it? What, you know, how much money are you going to need to do that? And what licenses am I going to need? Really do your research and sit down and make it in writing, either on the computer or by hand, but actually come up with a plan of action of all the things that you need to do. Once you've done that, is then from that plan, you should be able to choose what's the first, second, third things that you need to do. And then you do the biggie, which is you start. Because sometimes people get stuck in the planning stage because that's so much fun that they're planning, and they don't ever take the first step to get where they want to go. So I tell people, decide what you want, make a plan to get there, and then begin. Once you begin, then it's a case of just keep putting one foot in front of the other. Do not stop. Do not give up. If you reach situations where it looks like you're going to fail, you need to continue on, even if it looks like you're going to fail. I had so many situations with my first newspaper where it looked like I was absolutely failing, and I could have given up, was tempted to give up, but fortunately I said, no, I've gone this far. I'm not stopping. I am going to continue. The only way I'll stop is if I am absolutely squished. You know, the universe has to make it so clear that I absolutely cannot continue, and that's when I'll stop, but not until then. And that's what I did, and I was able, things happened. You know, things that looked like an insurmountable obstacle wasn't. But when I came up to it, it moved. So I tell people, you have to have that level of commitment, whatever it is you're trying to accomplish. It can't just be, gee, I wish I could, and gee, maybe I will. It's got to be, I am going to do this, no matter what. And if you fail, sit down, lick your wounds. What did I learn from this? Because I have also failed terribly in my life. I've lost businesses. I have failed. But it's from those failures that I gained so much that helped me with my successes. And I know business people, and I myself am one, I would rather hire somebody who has failed and then succeeded rather than somebody who has always succeeded. Because if you don't know how to handle the bad times, you won't handle the good ones either. So that's basically the message that I give people.
Well, I was thinking about, you're talking about the obstacles, and you know that obstacles can seem so big in front of us that we don't see there is a route around it, or there's other ways to go around the obstacle.
Right.
Because if we only see the obstacle, we don't see the creativity that can come from that.
Right.
Because you can creatively, you know, resolve the issues. And sometimes it's just like talking to somebody else and you get an idea, oh, I could do it this way.
Right.
It's just turning 90 degrees a different way. And
Well, it's like I was going to say the great teacher Yogananda, what he used to always say is there are no obstacles, only opportunities. And I love that. So when you see an obstacle, no, it's not an obstacle, it's an opportunity. Opportunity for me to learn something, to do something differently. So look at your obstacles as opportunities, and it really changes how you view it.
Right. And I want to point out, so your first newspaper, the New Times, you sold that. So was that a choice of you just wanted to change what business you were in and because you went back to doing?
Well, what happened was when I sold it, I never thought I would do another newspaper. I never thought I would. And when I sold it, the truth is I had been doing it for 11 years. I hardly ever took time off. I didn't take vacations. And in retrospect, after I had sold it and a few months had gone by and I got involved in a retail business, I realized that if I had taken time off, I probably would not have sold the business. So one of the big messages that I give people I mentor is be sure you take enough time off. It is really a temptation to work all the time. And what happens is you can burn out. So I basically had burned out. But it was not until 8 years later, when I sold the business, I had a five-year contract where you don't start another newspaper, which that's a normal thing when you sell a business. And mm-hmm. But it was 8 years later when people started saying, please start another newspaper. We miss it. We miss it. We want another one. And so through a series of events, that's how I started New Spirit Journal.
Well, that's a great story, too, because you learn from here. You know, it's like, you would have stayed if you'd, and we do that so much. We don't take time for ourselves. We don't have that balance. It's really about balance of work and play and getting rejuvenated so that we have the energy to keep going. And especially when you're at something so long, I've been at Woman Wisdom for 20 years, and yes, I need to make a shift in my position there and what I do, but I'm not leaving it, but I did need to make a shift.
Right.
You know, and that's just the nature of doing business. I need change in my life. So, well, thank you so much, Christopher, talking with us today.
Absolutely. It's been my pleasure. Thank you for having me on.
Great. So I'd like to leave everyone with this thought today. What are you not doing that you want to be doing, and what is stopping you? Take a look at this weekend and see what steps you can take to move you forward towards your dreams. Well, this is Chris Stainis, and I'm thrilled that you have joined us for this hour. You can sign up for the monthly Women of Wisdom newsletter at www.womenofwisdom.org. Find out about our monthly events and other things that are going on. We just had an amazing dinner a couple weeks ago. We do that quarterly now. In May, we're going to have our Community Connection workshop. It's May 20th. Its topic is Liberate Your Voice in Your Body. So check that out on our website. And I'm also the author of the Amazon bestseller and award-winning book, Women of Wisdom, Empowering the Dreams and Spirit of Women. And just as our annual conference changes women's lives, the book has also touched many people, inspiring them to explore their divine feminine. And it's a compilation of many of the voices of women of wisdom and artists and poets and musicians. So that's a fabulous book. You can purchase at womenofwisdom.org and, of course, at Amazon. If you'd like to contact me, you can email me at wow@womenofwisdom.org. So this is Chris Stainis, and I'll be talking to you next week. I'll be having Donna Siebel on the show. So have a great weekend, everybody.
You've been listening to Voices of Women with Chris Stainis. Tune in each Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time for Voices of Women Today, radio with Chris Stainis.
We all want deeper, more intimate relationships. But how do we create successful relationships and maintain strong connections? Peter Kane has some real answers. Author of The Monogamy Challenge, Creating and Keeping Intimacy, Peter is one of the original breathworkers and relationship trainers with over 30 years' experience. Breathe, relax, or create intimacy and keep it thriving. Visit peterkane.org or contact Peter Kane at 425-802-2050.
Ladies, are you living an inspired life? Do you yearn for a more passionate, dream-filled life? Here's Linda Joy, founder of Aspire Magazine, and she has a gift for you.
Aspire has launched its Mission to Inspire initiative with a commitment to give away 100,000 one-year digital subscriptions to women around the globe. Every subscription comes with a multitude of free gifts from our team inspiration partners.
To claim it all, go to AspireMag.net today. No purchase necessary, and live an inspired life.
Imagine a chocolate so decadent that you'd never believe it could be good for you. Align your inner bliss with Mother Nature's magic. The power of cold-pressed cocoa by Shasai, the healthy chocolate. Shasai is everything you ever dreamed healthy should taste like. We combine unprocessed cocoa with acai and blueberry for an unbeatable high-oxidant powerhouse. Shasai, the healthy chocolate. Visit us at lifesaverchocolate.com or call 888-287-2011.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready?
visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.